right. Can everybody hear all right from right there? All right, good deal. So it may be difficult for me to make eye contact with some of you who are back around to my right or my left, because if I get too far away from this mic, I'm going to fade in and out. So I'll probably be looking straight ahead for the most part. Does that sound good, Tanner? Okay. Who would have ever imagined that we'd be meeting like this on a Sunday morning? I think just a couple of months ago, I would have never thought that we would be doing this, but this is where we are. And I'm really glad for that last song where we were reminded that Christ is our sure and steady anchor. He doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and we can count on Him. And the wonderful thing, if you remember in John chapter 4, where Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, and He said to her that God desires those who worship in spirit and in truth, and the hours are coming when we will worship in spirit and in truth. And this is an example of that. We don't have to be in that building to worship. We can be out in the parking lot in our cars and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that today. You know, from the time we're on our mother's knee, we have heard, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. But maybe there's a more important way to view this relationship. By asking the question, do I love Jesus? And if so, what evidence is there to prove it is so? John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we know that God loves us. We know that Jesus loves us. But that does not ensure everyone's salvation. So the question, maybe the greater question today, is do you love Jesus Christ? It is this that I would like to deal with in today's message, in the passage that we're looking at in John chapter 21. If you have your Bibles, please go ahead and turn there. John 21, as we continue an exposition through this book, we'll be looking at verses 15 through 17. As you're turning there, I would ask you these questions. Have you ever denied Jesus? Have you ever failed Jesus? Have you ever been ashamed of Jesus or forsaken Jesus Christ? If you have, I hope today you will find some solace in this passage of Scripture, because the man whom Jesus is addressing here is a man who had denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. He had failed to live up to his own expectations for following Jesus. And he had failed to live up to Jesus' statements concerning him, which said that he is a rock. And how did he fail Jesus? See, he had not only long ago, he had not long ago said that he would give up his life to follow Jesus Christ. However, he had denied Jesus in the time which Jesus needed him the most. He denied and even cursed, saying he did not know the man. So this man that Jesus is talking to has done to a greater degree what we confess ourselves to do. Deny, fail, and be ashamed at times of the Lord of creation. So let's read the passage in John 21, 15 through 17. Tanner, if you could come adjust this a little bit. I'm hearing some ringing up here. John 21, 15 through 17. The Word of God reads like this. So when Peter had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep.
He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, before we dive completely into this passage, I feel I must do a bit of a summary of last week's Sunday night message from John 21, verses 1 through 14. I would like to remind you that we saw there three things. We saw the occupation that Jesus allowed. We saw the outcome Jesus controlled. And the third thing we saw was the opportunity Jesus provided. See, the disciples had gone back to fishing. They had defaulted back to that which they knew, that which was comfortable to them. We saw that the outcome of their occupation was vanity. They had fished all night and they caught nothing. But then Jesus came along and he changed the outcome to a great catch of fish. As a matter of fact, it was 153 large fish, the scripture tells us. And isn't that exactly what Jesus Christ does for all of us? Before we come to know Christ, we're living lives of vanity, pride, and of selfishness, and ultimately a life that will result in the wrath of God abiding on us for all of eternity, because we rejected the gift of salvation through His Son. You see, it's not because we've sinned, but it's because we have rejected the gift of salvation through His Son. God has made an allowance for sin. One does not have to perish in their sin. You can be saved. So, we once were living a life like that, and one that was destined for the wrath of God for all of eternity. But when we come to know Jesus, our outcome changes. Rather than being dead in our sins, we are alive to God. Rather than being trapped in the blackness of darkness, we are in His marvelous light. And we are in His marvelous light. Jesus changes the outcome of our lives. I was a young man destined for the devil's hell, full of pride and arrogance. I was self-made and self-sufficient. But Jesus Christ saved me, and He changed me when I was 17 years old, giving me the gifts of faith and repentance, that I might repent toward God and have faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I can stand here today before you and testify that Jesus Christ saves sinners. As a matter of fact, that is at least one of the primary purposes for which Christ came into the world. For the Scripture says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I want you to know today that Jesus can change your outcome too. Jesus can give you eternal life. The Bible says that God demonstrated His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, the Scripture says that he who has the Son has life, but he who has not the Son of God does not have life. You see, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what your present is. All that matters is that today you come to your senses like the prodigal son of Scripture, and that you have sinned against the Holy God, and that you today receive the gift of salvation that God provides us through Jesus Christ, His beloved Son. You see, the thing about a gift is that it's already paid for by somebody else. You don't have to pay it for it yourself. As a matter of fact, this is a gift that you can never pay for yourself. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of being in the presence of the Holy God for all of eternity and enjoying Him free from sin, free from deceit, free from sickness, free from disease, free from viruses, free from poverty, free from unbelief, free from fear, free from tears, free from lying, free from death, free from computer problems, free from church problems, free from pandemics and quarantines. Jesus Christ frees us from all of those things, and we get to experience His joy and His presence forevermore. You see, Jesus changes us, and it is to the praise of the glory of His grace. You can do this today. You can be saved if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. You shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. And in another place it says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter if you're in sexual sin, pride of the heart, covetousness, love of money, substance abuse with drugs and alcohol, or lying and cheating your way through life. There is no depth of our sin for which the grace of God cannot flow. This is the good news of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. This is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And this is true for you today. Let no one leave these church grounds today or anywhere in our hearing without knowing that Jesus Christ and the sweet message of salvation comes through Him. That Jesus saves sinners, and that today any man, woman, boy, or girl who will trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ can be forgiven of their sins. You can be made right with a holy God if you will but believe and trust in Him, just as you are trusting in the seat of the vehicle in which you are sitting right now. So you ought to place the care and trust of your lives and your eternity into the hands of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, who saves to the uttermost those who come to God through Him. And He has promised that all that the Father has given Him, He will give them eternal life, and He will lose none but raise them up in the last day. Now, the last point of verses 1 through 14 was that, first of all, we saw the opportunity, we saw the occupation, the outcome, and now we see the opportunity of verses 1 through 14. The opportunity was an amazing opportunity for fellowship. You see, Jesus already had fish. If you remember that passage that we looked at, if you weren't there, you can read it. But Jesus already had the fish, He already had the bread, and He already had the fire. But yet He called out to the disciples who were out in the boat, in vanity, fishing, and He said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And then when they arrived to the shore, He had Peter bring the fish, and they cooked them, and they all ate. Jesus provided an opportunity for fellowship. Shortly hereafter, these men would go about to fulfill the purpose for which Jesus had called them, to go out and preach the gospel to the lost world. Because He told them in their calling that they would be fishers of men, and so they would go throughout the book of Acts preaching the gospel, and that men and women would believe in the message of Jesus Christ, and they would be saved from their sins. And this opportunity is still available today. It doesn't matter if we're in quarantine or practicing social distancing, there is nothing that would cause us as a believer to lose fellowship with Jesus Christ, for we continue in that fellowship no matter what our circumstances are around us. And Jesus is inviting all of us into that fellowship today. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, at the end of the book, He says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." Well, that's my introduction. John 21, verses 15 through 17. I'll spend just a few moments here. With Peter, we see in him a threefold disciple. He had a threefold calling. For in John's gospel, he first encountered Jesus. And then Matthew and Mark, we see the second encounter. And then in Luke's gospel, we see the final encounter. He had a threefold calling. But we also see that he had a threefold sleep problem. Because he fell asleep three times in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus told him, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. And then we see as well that he had a threefold denial. He denied Jesus Christ three times. And here in verses 15 through 17, we find a threefold restoration where Jesus Christ three times asked him, do you love me? And three times he commanded him what he ought to do. And then there was one other that we find later in the Bible in Acts chapter 10. There we see Peter receiving a vision, a threefold vision from the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the Gentiles and that they can be saved through the preaching of the gospel. But it's the threefold restoration that we'll look at today. In verses 15 through 17, first of all, we see Jesus ask this question, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? In the first instance, he asked it this way, and this is the one that we'll key on today in our study. Do you love me more than these? Now, the question I have is, what are these? What are these? Was he talking about the other disciples? That would seem odd. What is Jesus talking about when he asks Peter, "What do you love me more than these?" I would submit to you today that in the context of this writing, it seems as though he would be talking about the fish. It seems this because of the context and the degree to which John goes to emphasize fish. Peter brought the fish to the fire. They ate, and still, no doubt, there were an abundance of fish. Also, this is what Peter had chosen to occupy himself with and to involve others in while he was waiting on the Lord. And you would remember that this was Peter's occupation prior to being called to be a disciple of Jesus and to follow him. So how cutting this must have been. Can you imagine this? If indeed he's talking about the fish here, that Jesus would look at Peter and say, do you love me more than these? No doubt this must have cut to the heart of Peter. But I ask you this, what would Jesus ask you about today? What would he ask me about today that we might be ashamed of? As Jesus continues to talk to Peter in these verses, you see finally in verse 17, where Jesus said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? What would Jesus ask us about today that might cause us to be ashamed? Consider for a moment if Jesus were talking to you right now and he said your name, first and last. In my case, it would be Eric Swinney. Put your name in that place. If he were to say to you, do you love me more than? And then we think about some of the answers that might be in that blank. My spouse, your spouse, your children, your family, your job, your health, your money, your country, your freedom, your security, your possessions, your food. Maybe for some of you children who are out there today, he might ask you, do you love me more than your Legos? Do you love me more than your video games? Do you love me more than your toys? Do you love me more than your activities? Do you love me more than your devices, your smartphone, your social media, your friend group? Do you love me more than your education? Do you love me more than your reputation? Do you love me more than sports? Do you love me more than having the perfect selfie photo to put on the social media? Do you love me more than these things? And for all of us, he might ask, those of us who are astute churchgoers, Jesus might say, do you love me more than being right? Do you love me more than your theology? Do you love me more than your religious activity? Do you love me more than any of these things? Jesus needs to ask us that question because so often our actions and our attitudes prove that there is a real need for that question to be asked. Jesus spoke to the church in Ephesus and he said this, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place until you repent. So yes, I will reiterate for you today that Jesus loves us. Galatians 2:20 says that He loved me and gave Himself for me. 1 John 4:19 says that we love Him because He first loved us. Romans 5 verse 6 says, "To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." But I tell you today that you must love Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 22, "If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come." Ephesians chapter 6 verse 24, "Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Amen. 1 John 4:19, "We love Him because He first loved us." And Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17, Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So, I will begin to wrap things up and I'll ask you this. In a relationship that we have with someone we love, do we not do the following things? Do we not think of that person often? Do we not desire to hear about him? And when we hear about Him, do we not readily give attention to all that is being said that we might learn as much as possible? Do we not read about Him like a wife reading the letter from her husband, or a mother reading the letter or message from a son or who has been deployed in military service? Do we not seek to please the one that we love, to learn what pleases them and to do that? And we like His friends as well. There is a bond between us. There's a bond between them. And He is that bond. Once you meet someone that the two of you have the mutual friend, there is an immediate bond. But also for that one in which we love, are we not jealous for His name and His honor? We will not allow another to badmouth and run them down without saying our piece and making our stand. We talk to Him, and we talk of Him, and we desire to be always with the one that we love. All of these things are indications and should remind us of what our relationship and our fellowship with Jesus Christ can be. And I pray that that is what it has been for you during this difficult time in our nation's history. I would like to draw some conclusions now, and it is, number one is this. Love for the person of Jesus Christ is at the core of Christian ministry and the Christian life. As you look at John 21, 15 through 17, and after each time Jesus asked Peter these questions, He always followed it up by instruction, and He said in the verse 15, "Feed my lambs." In verse 16, He said, "Tend my sheep." And then in verse 15, He said, "Feed my sheep." What is Jesus talking about there? He's no doubt talking about the church and the role that Peter would play in the life of the church, and how he must love Jesus. Loving Jesus for Peter would be serving his church, serving his people, loving one another. But number two, in conclusion, I will ask you this question. Can you honestly say today that you love Christ? Think about the many people in the New Testament who are so many unsung heroes. You think about the Lydias, and you think about maybe James the Less, one of the disciples of Jesus. and so many other people who became followers of Jesus Christ, the thing that sets every real believer apart from other people is that they love Jesus. You see, you don't have to have Grudem systematic theology class. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to be an adult. As a matter of fact, you only have to be someone who understands love. Children don't have to understand the great depths of theology to be saved, nor does anyone else. Any person can understand that Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. And we understand what love is and what it is to love someone else. And I ask you today, do you love Jesus Christ? Can you honestly say that you do? Because if you don't, your soul is in danger. You are in danger of the eternal wrath of God if you do not love Jesus Christ. Let everyone who loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul said, be accursed. And then number three, Jesus is gracious. He is forgiving. He is loving. He is kind, He is merciful, and He invites us with open arms. Those who maybe were once sold out and committed to Jesus, but our love has grown cold. He maybe is someone who has denied Him or forsaken Him. Jesus is inviting you back just as He invited Peter back. But it is not without condition. Because Peter, if he is going to love Jesus, he would feed the sheep. He would tend the lambs. He would take care of the people of God. And so Christ is calling you back not to live for yourself, but to live for Him and to live with His church. Jesus is gracious. Or perhaps today, you know, that you have refused to follow Christ. Because you are afraid you cannot keep it up. Maybe you have not made Christ, confessed Him publicly because you're afraid you just can't hold out, that you will falter. So you never confess Christ as Lord to begin with. I want you to know today, and I hope that you'll see in this passage, that Peter blew it big time. But his salvation was never ultimately up to him. Jesus promised that He would keep him to the end. And here we find Jesus pursuing Peter. And the amazing thing about being in relationship with Jesus Christ is that He continues to pursue us throughout our lives. And He keeps us and He holds us to the very end. So today, if you've never believed in Jesus and confessed Him as Lord, perhaps the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with you today, and the message of the gospel rings true to you today, maybe for the first time, and today you say, I believe in Jesus Christ. If that were to be true of you, and you need to obey the Lord through repentance and faith, and then following the Lord in believer's baptism, I would love to talk to you at any time. Finally, I'll end with these words from the song, More Love to Thee. This great hymn reads as follows. More love to Thee, O Lord, more love to Thee. Hear Thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea. More love, O Lord, to Thee. More love to Thee, more love to Thee. Once earthly joy I craved, sought peace and rest. Now Thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be. More love, O Lord, to Thee. More love to Thee. More love to Thee. Then shall my latest breath whisper Thy praise. This be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be, more love, O Lord, to Thee. More love to Thee, more love to Thee. Jesus dealt with Peter, and He wanted to know, do you love Me? Today's message is entitled, Do You Love Me? Do you love Jesus Christ? And I pray today that as you leave these grounds and as you go in peace, that you can say with confidence, I love Jesus Christ and His grace has been evident in my life because I can say so. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed today. Father, I thank You for Your word. And again, Lord Jesus, I ask the blessings, Your blessings upon the preaching of Your word and upon the reading of Your word. I pray, Father, that You will bless the gospel Lord, that has been preached, though the preacher is weak and feeble, the message of the gospel is powerful. And Lord, we know not what ears it might fall upon today, that the seed of that gospel might spring forth and bring forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. But we pray, Father, that Your Word will accomplish its purpose. We thank You for Jesus, who calls us back into fellowship even when we've denied and forsaken Him. And we thank You, Lord God, that He is our sure and steady anchor, and that He holds fast no matter what is going on around us, and that we as Christians, we as believers, can trust in Him. So Lord, as we go in peace, I pray that You will be with us, and that You will, with every opportunity that we have, give us grace that we might open our mouths and speak boldly the message of the gospel, which is able to give peace in such an uncertain time. Father, we thank You for our time together today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you all for being here today. These are unusual circumstances, but we're glad that we can gather. Our service is going to be is going to conclude at this time. And while we would normally stay around for an hour or hour and a half in fellowship, we're not able to do that today. But we ask you to please be careful as you exit the parking lot. And our plan is to, as a church, we'll gather back on Zoom on Wednesday night. And then we'll be back here Lord's Day morning next week on Sunday at 9:30. Invite you to please come back and support our services here as we drive into the parking lot and worship the Lord together. The Lord bless you.